If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits!
It's 2019, you know, I could watch chick fist her butt on my phone in like 2 seconds.
And Tyler Fudge!
I don't care about your beefs with people, Bruce Prichard, you're an ugly old fucking weird dude.
Suplex City Limits!
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 211 of Suplex City Limits for April 27th, 2019. It feels like I'm busting a nut when I open you up. It's your boy, the King of Bong Style, Jim Vicious, and he will now be known as the Canadian Warrior, my co-host.
No homophobic slur, homophobic slurs from me. Definitely be doing no homophobic slurs. I am not the ultimate warrior, but the fatter warrior. Tyler Fudge.
There you go. Suplex City Limits, available for listening where a fine podcast are found. You can follow me on the show Twitter at Suplex City Limit. Follow Tyler at The Federation. If you like this show, consider supporting it by picking up a t-shirt from our friends at Pro Wrestling Tees. We've got 5 designs, all kinds of sizes. They ship all across this great planet of ours. Or you can donate on our Patreon, become a producer. Like, he's not balding, Christopher Spalding. Caleb, you should see his organ field, Morgan Field. He's better than Festus Joseph Justice. C-Money, B-Rad Brad, our friends at the Smack It Down podcast. Check them out everywhere podcasts are found. They cover a lot of stuff that we don't. WXW,
progress.
Well,
we do some progress. DDT, we, you know, but whatever.
There you go.
Listen to them for that.
They also have sexy Australian accents, so you can't go wrong there.
It's true.
Max's Garage, Infamous Chris Savage, Kick-Ass Keith Martin, Riceroni Jabroni Ty Loney, Insane Ian Jackson, Jumpin' Jeremy Foltz. And this week on my Plain Vanilla Martin Corns, I'm going to go for Butterscotch.
Ooh, yeah. Butterscotch. Fuck. Oh, you got me there.
Just a simple Butterscotch. Yeah.
God damn, you know, like butterscotch.
What are those chips? What are those, like, they're like chocolate chips, but they're not. Are they like butterscotch chips? Maybe I'll put some of those on there too.
I'm going to take, you know, some sprinkles, you know, just for eye candy, you know what I'm saying? Because nobody tastes sprinkles. They're
a visual aesthetic.
Yeah, it's just a visual aesthetic. And then I'm just going to take, you know, a little bit of honey, drizzle it over there, and maybe I'm going to steal some of Jim's butterscotch. Maybe I'll steal all of it. I fucking love butterscotch.
I'm going to have so much butterscotch, I'm going to be dropping a nutter squatch in my fucking...
Oh, I'll clean that up, too.
Weird. This week on the show, we're taking a look back at all of the news. We'll be previewing some Impact pay-per-view action, NWA, a little bit as well. We've got the news, top 3, all kinds of shit, so... We should get into it as always with this week's top 3 after a message from this week's sponsor.
Can I get one of those woo tickets?
Excuse me?
One of those woo tickets.
It's not woo, it's woo!
Woo!
Woo! Introducing Ric Flair's new woo! Scratch-off ticket for the North Carolina Education Lottery with a top prize of $100,000. It's enough to make anyone say, woo!
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 Suplex City.
The limit's
top.
Three! Suplex City Limits top three, our top three matches of the week. Fucking Ric Flair selling lottery tickets, man. He'll hawk anything at this
he
point.
Will. Can you blame him? He's Ric Flair. Yeah.
He spent a lot of fucking money on bar tabs and, you know, I don't know.
He probably lives by those lottery tickets. Mind you, I bought a lottery ticket this week, too. And I haven't checked it. So I could be a millionaire and you guys never hear from me again.
Yeah, in other news, this is your last week doing the show.
We'll see.
Fuck that. If you win the lottery, you better, like, you know, get us a studio and shit.
If I won the lottery, there would be many things that would happen. Many things.
You don't have the money to get me into Canada.
Shows is not one of them.
Here you go. Start a wrestling company. No.
Yeah, right? You know what, man? Depending on how much money I would make, I probably would.
If you had enough to lose on a wrestling company.
Oh, man. If I won the lottery is for $35 million. If I won $35 million, guess what? I'd be running some kind of wrestling company.
There you go. This week's top three started off in no particular order, as we do every week. Gargano versus Strong. I always get, like, we're so far into the cutting people's names off. Johnny Gargano, Roderick Strong. If you're new around here, you don't know who these people are.
Yeah, if you don't know who these people are, you've got a lot of wrestling to watch, my friend.
NXT 503. I thought this was a very good match.
Yes.
Especially for television, you know.
They've been doing that a lot the last couple of weeks, too, delivering on some really good matches on the NXT television.
Yeah. I watched the whole show. I haven't watched NXT TV, like the entire thing, in a while. And I watched it this week. And there's so many things on there that it's like just that WWE's not doing, and I don't understand why. Like, they plant seeds for all kinds of different feuds in the future. They're building things up, and it's like, wow, what a refreshing fucking idea this is.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you are. You know, there's two things that they're building. Like, you got Riddle and being on Gargano's side against the Undisputed Era, and then on the Undisputed Era side, you also have the distancing factor of Roderick Strong, you know, looking like he wants nothing to do with Adam Cole and Fish and O'Reilly.
Yeah, I don't think it's be a good idea to break those guys up at this point. Tease it a little bit here, you know, but like I would still run with it for a long time.
Oh yeah, like I would have at least like their next takeover is even SummerSlam. I wouldn't have anybody leave the Undisputed Era until then, at least.
I'm talking this year.
Oh,
like I wouldn't even fuck. I wouldn't fuck with it for a long time myself.
I get that. I don't know if they have any plans for Roderick Strong immediately.
Come on, man. What are they going to do with him? Call him up? Put him on the fucking road?
I mean, like, different plans in NXT. Because as of right now in NXT, he's kind of a shadow figure with the Undisputed Era. Because like, you got the tag team. And then you've got Adam Cole, who's obviously the number one single star on the team. Roderick Strong right now is just like playing the Freebird tag team rules with Red Dragon, essentially.
I have no problem with that.
I got no problem with that either. But at this time where a lot of guys have been called up, Roderick Strong could be utilized as a singles competitor a lot more.
Mm. I guess that's fair. I feel like he peaked. You know, they already did the whole singles Roderick Strong thing, like, as far as I think it would have went, you know?
Well, they did it as a babyface.
Right.
Roderick Strong's a natural heel.
That's true.
Right? Like, I would not want to see Roderick Strong turn babyface. I just don't see the point.
No.
You got a like, face, you want to punch.
My mom shot my dad.
My dad was an Elvis impersonator. So you just feel bad for the guy. Yeah.
In a trailer, I know his mom, like, shot his dad in the trailer house.
Yeah. Yeah, she woke up and seen Elvis fucking thrusting upon her. I was like, fuck this. I'm not fucking no ghost.
I'm sick of Elvis. I don't even fucking like Elvis.
It's going to be a hard knock night for you, bitch.
There you go. From there, we've got some shit from Japan. Ibushi and Sabre Jr. From, I don't know, we're on the road to Dontaku in New Japan. I can't keep up. There's like a zillion fucking shows.
Road to Dontaku show 2.57.
Yeah. This is really good. I enjoyed it, even though I don't like Saber that much. I think Ibushi, I like Ibushi enough to make up for it.
Yeah.
Really solid match. At the end of which, Naito comes out and challenges for the IC. So I guess that's happening some point.
Yeah.
And then Ibushi mentions, he does like, you know, promo, and he's got a lifetime contract. I guess we could talk about that here.
I guess, yeah. Ibushi and his lifetime.
He claims contract. He's committed to them for life.
That's an odd thing to say. Like
the guy who would never sign a contract has now signed a contract for life.
Yeah, like to me, it's. I don't know how can you even do that? How can you sign a contract for life? Is that even possible?
This new contract is with them until the day he dies. What is
it? Like that's like slavery shit, isn't it? Like
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Like I'm very confused on that. You know, you got Omega's goes to AEW and doing that whole thing, and you thought for sure Ibushi would be involved in that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And like from what I've heard, Kota Ibushi, they want him to raise the prestige of the Intercontinental title. Right? So like I would expect Kota Ibushi to hold. Now with this whole thing coming out, he's probably going to hold that title for I'd say a couple years.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll end up knocking that deal out and doing New Japan with AEW. They've got to at this point. Ring of Honor had the biggest stage. I don't know if we really like harped on it enough at MSG. The biggest stage that they've ever had, and they fucking TNA'd it.
Yeah. I really would hope that once AEW gets on their feet and has a TV deal going, which at this point in time, if the TV deal is what everybody's talking about, it's much better of a TV deal to showcase your Japanese stars on than the ROH TV deal.
You fucking right it is. You know? Yeah, you damn right it is. And if you want, you know, it builds all those guys up here. You do shows. If you're going to do shows here, just do combined shows with AEW.
Yeah.
You know, do a few special ones a year where like New Japan versus AEW or something. I mean, it'd be fucking awesome.
I think so. I think that's the way to go. And you can't fault New Japan for not wanting to jump on with AEW right now because they're not proven. You know, they got a money backer, but like that's about it. But so does New Japan. New Japan's got, you know, close ties with Mark Cuban, so money is not really something that they need.
I know, but man, I just with Ring of Honor, I would just be like, yeah, that's cool. Oh, yeah. We'll get back to you on that.
Oh yeah, no, for 100% sure. Like this is, I'm talking about like their mentality back in January when everybody left and they tried to get a. But like now, after the MSG show during WrestleMania weekend, I don't think there's any chance in hell that New Japan stays loyal to ROH. I really don't think so.
Yeah, them and everybody else, because like I'm so turned off on Ring of Honor, and we didn't even mention this last week. I heard that Bully Ray is going to be more part of the booking. Him and who else?
I wouldn't be able to tell you because I don't pay close enough attention to ROH anymore.
It was him and somebody else. Let's see here. I don't know. I thought I had it somewhere. Oh yeah, Mercury.
Joey Mercury.
Delirious being phased out of booking ROH, Bully Ray and Joey Mercury taking his place. That's why it's a bunch of fucking Mickey Mouse WWE horseshit over there.
I mean, is it or is Delirious being phased out because of everything else?
What do you mean everything else?
Like Delirious being the one that did this, and they're like, "Nah, we're good. Let's put somebody else in there."
No, from what I understand, this is like to be there. This is their early on shit.
That's fair. Like I can get like Bully Ray, who's like, "Yeah, let's bring in Enzo Amore and Big Cass, and then I'll come out and beat shit out of
them." Yeah. Oh yeah, and let's bring in fucking my broad, and we'll give her a fucking faction and shit.
Yeah.
She was already there, wasn't she? I don't know.
No, she wasn't.
Nope. Okay, so she was brought in. You'd fucking right. That was their first thing.
Wow, yeah.
No. And they shit the bed on it already. It's just, it's fucking TNA. It sucks.
Hey, yeah.
Fuck you.
No, ROH got to really step up the game. Especially, I'm not a fan of Matt Taven, and I don't want to harp on Matt Taven too much because he's a good wrestler. But he's not what I want to see as the top of a company. And
he's just not it. Yeah.
No, he's not. In my opinion, anyways, he's not. And I know you think the same way. So it's definitely not super. It doesn't get a stamp of approval. But
I went on our boys at Comedy Suplex. Oh, much love to them. They actually know the dude. And I'm like, they're like, nah, doesn't do it for me. You know, is he gonna be? He has to step up here. And they're like, they actually know the dude. So it's kind of an awkward situation. But
well, what are you supposed to do? Not be yourself? It's like, yeah, no, I like him. Yeah.
Matt Taven number one. I got a Matt Taven shirt. It says I don't know what on it. So we've got that and very good match this week. Roppongi 3K versus Shingo and Bushi. This match was really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out to B-Rad Brad for suggesting it.
I will say, since Shingo has come to New Japan, he's such a good wrestler. He's a little big for the junior heavyweight division, but I still would like to see him do a nice little singles run in the junior heavyweight division. Because having him singles matches with Ishimori and Dragon Lee and all those other cats, I think would be tremendous. Because I think he's being wasted with Bushi. Because we all know my dislike for Bushi.
I'm not even sure if Shingo is a junior.
Well, like, I don't think he is size-wise, but he's been placed there because of his stature, his shortness.
I think he's a guy. There's a couple of questions I have on this involving the people in this match that I wanted to propose to you. So is Shingo like a top guy? Like, could he be a top guy, a single?
I think it's possible.
Maybe not like top champ, but IC or mid level.
I wouldn't put him like with like Tanahashi. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do that, but like, He's a really good wrestler. He's got a great look. When it comes to Japanese on our side of the table, the talking ability doesn't matter because they all sound cool. They all sound nice, right? Like, they all sound like that. So like that sounds dope. So I mean, I'll take anybody doing a promo in Japanese because it's fucking cool. When it comes to everything else, man, I just like Shingo. And I hope that he can get a good singles push outside of a junior division.
Yeah, I could see that too. He's still undefeated. Yeah. He still hasn't been pinned. And the other one is Sho. I was really paying attention to Sho here. I think that dude's got it, man. I think he's definitely going to be a junior champion.
Yeah.
I was trying to like, do I want to go and say like a real far off, like this guy will be IWGP champion? I don't know.
I if there's anybody from this match that has the most potential to do that, it's Sho. It's Sho. Like his outing during the junior tournament last year, he was amazing. I can't wait to see what he's going to do this year because that's coming up soon too.
Right. Yeah. Him and Yo are separate, obviously, in that. So that's going to be good. And you got that story too, right? And there's so much story you can do there that you can split apart. He can get the belt. Yo can take him on for it. And I mean, there's so many things you can do with it.
Yeah. And before we get too far away from Shingo, he weighs 211 pounds.
He just looks fucking bigger than that.
He's just fucking jacked. Yeah. He's a stout boy.
I was wondering about that too. Cause to me, he's a guy that they could really do something with. I don't know about IWGP champion, but I mean, they could do it.
Yeah.
They know how to. They have a real ability to get a guy there. You know, they don't put that thing on somebody that you're like, well, I don't know if I really take them as IWGP champion.
Doesn't really.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we've got to that was Switchblade, and our minds were changed on that after. So,
yeah, right there you go. But yeah, really good shit here. As mentioned by B-Rad, I'm gonna give him some credit here. 3K have won the title 3 times. They never had defended it. And then, of course, this whole Sho being obsessed with Shingo thing, this is new to me. I haven't noticed this, but I haven't been watching lately.
I'm assuming they've been hinting in their series of matches, you know, show just wanting to beat the shit out of Shingo. I'm assuming that's what they're talking about. It's not something that was like prevalent in my mind, but you know, once it's pointed out, like, I didn't hear B-Rad talk about it. I don't think, but I heard it somewhere about last week or something like that, and that's all I really knew about it, is that they're kind of feuding. So I don't know. That's probably a feud that's going to happen during the Best of the Super Juniors. I would like to imagine that they're going to be in the same block. That's probably going to be one of the marquee matches.
Yeah. Really, B-Rad just sold it with his thing, post talking about it. I was like, fuck, I got to go watch this. And it was really good. It was super slow build. By the end, though, the crowd is hot as fuck for it. And then, of course, you did get the Shingo and Sho just standing in front of each other, just rifling forearms at each other, man. Yeah. Like, unbelievable. Fuck, it's so good.
Have we went over who's all in the Best of the Super Juniors this year?
No, but then Yo pins Bushi to retain the fucking junior championship belts.
At least I know you got the list. I do have the list.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
There is an X, so we don't know who X is yet.
That's Fantasmo, probably.
Well, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's probably El Fantasmo, or Fantasmo.
And not the good one.
Oh, it's not the good one? It's the bad one?
Well, I don't know if he's bad, but it's not El Hijo de Fantasma, the Mexican badass.
Oh.
It's like some British kid named Fantasma.
Oh, well, I don't give a fuck about it then. Now I just want it to be Takahashi again.
Exactly. I want it to be anybody other than this Fantasma. And I've never seen the kid work, you know, but it's just like, he's like the new Bullet Club guy, and I don't know.
The way I look at it, it's the Best of the Super Juniors. I don't want to see brand new Fox in it. You know what I mean? I don't want to see all these people that seem the same. I just don't want that. I want different people from different places. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we got El Desperado, Kanemaru, who are, you know, the tag team for Suzuki-gun. Tiger Mask is making his return to the Best of the Super Juniors. Rusuke Taguchi, Flip Gordon, Bandito, Marty Scurll, Jonathan Gresham. It's cool to see Jonathan Gresham in it.
Yeah, it's first time. I think that's going to go really well too, because he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's really good.
So you get to see all those matches. You know, there's going to be Gresham versus all these people.
Yeah,
in his block anyway. It's going to be awesome.
Well, like, these don't have it broken down in the blocks. I just got a list here. We got Shingo Takagi, Bushi, Will Ospreay, which I'm shocked to see Will Ospreay in it, because he seemed to be going to more of a bigger role, but I don't know. He won the Never Open Weight title. That title was originally slated to be where juniors could face heavyweights. That was the whole point of that title before, and it turned into more of a strong style title. So I don't know if that's what they were doing with Will, just bring him up, do the Never Open Weight title, and then bring him back down to the juniors. Robbie Eagles, Taiji Ishimori, Yo, Sho, Rocky Romero. See that? Dragon Lee, who is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, Teton, which, I mean, everybody loves Teton.
And, fuck yeah.
Takamichi Noko. That's JR, I would say.
Michinoko. Yeah. I actually was suspecting that 3K would lose the belts again.
Well, and continue that story that they can't defend them.
Well, right, when he said that, I was like, oh, shit, they're going to be like, this is going to be them losing them again, and we're going to get Shingo, you know, and Bushi, but, and then Sho would go on to maybe win, you know, but I think that that would be too, obviously, too much of a rush, so. But, who do you think's going to win it?
Oh, that's a good question. At this point in time, myself, just for what we were talking about earlier, my love for Shingo Takagi, I'd love to see Shingo Takagi win it. But I can easily see somebody along the lines of a Bandito or a Marty Scurll win it, especially with Dragon Lee being the champion.
I don't think Scurll's going
to
win it.
I don't think so either, but he's, to me, when you look at all the names on this, he's definitely one of the higher names. I don't see Will Ospreay winning it, because I don't see the point in Will Ospreay continuing on like a junior heavyweight tear. He's visibly bigger than everybody. Maybe Ishimori. But Hishimori won last year.
Yeah. Can my option be Takahashi returns and then fucking destroys everybody and then, you know, fucking finally gets his match against the man who injured him?
It's very possible. But now, mind you, the slated return is supposed to be in the summer. But, I mean, who knows, really?
It won't be. We always set up our fantasy Takahashi return booking, and then we let ourselves down because we let ourselves down because we don't get it.
It never really fucking fails.
God damn, Jimmy.
I may have predicted his injury, but I can't predict his return, apparently.
There you go, right? You did predict his injury.
That scared the shit out of me, dude, because like, there was like two times in a row where I was like, somebody's going to get really hurt in this match, and they did.
And then shortly after that, you were like, well, Roman Reigns is going to get cancer. We were all like, what? No way.
Wait, I didn't say that, did I?
No.
Okay.
You don't even remember. I could have sold you on that. Like, you, yeah, it was really fucking, you were a real asshole for that one.
You really could have.
That's it. That's the top three for this week. check them shits out. I'm fucking Jim baked out. Baked like a cake, son.
I love cake.
Great. let's get into this week's news. Brought to you by cake.
Yeah, brought to you by... this week in the news. We have returns of wrestling shows to Viceland other than Dark Side of the Ring, Kenta Kobashi at StarCast, and so much more. Over to you, Jim.
I'm Jim Vicious, and this is news to you. Brought to you by cake. You know, we should lead with the big story always, but I never decide ahead of time what that is.
Yeah, what is the big story this week, Jim?
I don't know. We'll just pick one. Cody Rhodes' Double or Nothing opponent is his brother, Dustin Rhodes.
Yes, Dustin Rhodes, who went on Twitter and called us all marks for thinking he was going to go to AEW, is now gone to AEW.
Yeah, I don't like him. I mean, he's a Suplex City Limits Hall of Famer. I like the dude's work, but he's a real fucking cunt on Twitter a lot. Not only that situation, but I mean, like, just in general.
Yeah, it's... I mean, that's one of the big downfalls. There's a lot of downfalls to Twitter, but that's one of the big ones. It's just like the illusion of liking somebody is gone. Because you can see what they're like.
It probably happens with, I mean, even like, you know, I have a personal Twitter. I don't advertise it. It's hidden away on the Twitter, but people find me. And, you know, it's the same. I'm sure it's the same thing. They're like, oh, he talks about all kinds of fucking crazy nonsense on here. I don't fucking like him anymore.
I feel like if I had my own personal Twitter, I'd enjoy Twitter a bit more.
I mean, you know, whatever. I thought that the video for this was fucking great. You took a match that, you know, like I kind of cared about maybe happening. And in, I don't know, what the video was like 4 minutes long or some shit. It was awesome. Yep. And I totally want to see this match. And everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of the people that in our group and shit were saying the same shit. They're like, I didn't really give a shit about this, but it was pretty awesome. And I'm looking forward to it now.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. It's an easy story to tell. It's an odd story to start with. You know what I mean? Let's open it up with the feud. But at the same time, they haven't been together in a company for years, and you can easily bridge a gap and a story that way where they haven't spoke for years because they haven't worked in the same company. And when they have spoke, Cody's been a dick. Right?
Let me pitch something to you here.
Pitch it, baby. Pitch it right in
my. How about Cody regions. Versus MJF at fucking, I mean, this is fantasy booking. This is what I would have done though. Versus MJF, you get some kind of post-match fucking beatdown from MJF. Dustin does the save. They tag up against MJF and somebody at the next one. And then after that, you break them up somehow. I don't know.
See, and let me tell you where I think this is going.
It could go to them tagging up afterward, I guess.
That's what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is, because there's the obvious MJF-Cody storyline that's going to play out, right? They've been hinting that on Being the Elite, which is the perfect thing to do with Being the Elite now, is hint these storylines. But you've got Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes having their match. Cody, obviously, is going to come out the winner. You go down the line, you're going to have MJF and Cody probably at that Fight for the Fallen show. Have that happen there, then Goldust can come save him. You know what I mean?
Well, he won't be Goldust.
Well, no, but I mean, it's so much easier to say Goldust. When was the last time we regularly called him Dustin Reynolds?
I don't know.
It's easier to call him Black Rain than Dustin Reynolds.
He's in the Suplex City Limits Hall of Fame as Dustin Rhodes,
I suppose.
Then, but yeah, it should be good, man. I'm looking forward to that. The show's going to be fucking fun.
I think so. I think the show's shaping up to be a really good show. You got Omega and Jericho, Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros, which is going to be a great match. There's no way it won't be. I'm super excited to see the OWE guys. You know, just all that bullshit.
Yeah, you kind of forget about how quick it's coming up, because I still feel like they haven't built a real like hype out of it. They have Being the Elite, they have the little whatever channel has these build things on it.
Yeah.
It's not out there, man. It's not, you know, we're inside the bubble, so we see these things, but like your average fan doesn't know that this is coming up.
No, and really the show at this point in time is not for the average fan. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, until they get a TV deal, there's no average fan's going to find this. And you can't blame them.
Can they not? I'm sure they can. Buy advertising for this pay-per-view on Raw?
Of course,
they can. You can do that. I remember seeing Lucha Underground commercials during it sometimes. Yep.
I would imagine.
Or did they? Maybe it was Impact.
There was some wrestling TV show had commercials during Raw. It might have been Impact, might have been ROH. But it's something that they can do. I wouldn't do it yet. I'd do it like a week or two before the show.
No, I wouldn't do it yet either. But I'm saying a week beforehand, get in that first hour before it drops below 2 million. Fucking.
Oh, man.
Random other news. That was the SCL poll this week on Twitter at Suplex City Limit, bitch. Was, will the final hour of Raw drop below 2 million before the end of summer? Like 93% say yes.
It's looking that way. It's looking that way. And now that we're on this subject, this probably be the time to say that
91%.
WWE lost $8 million this year, or this quarter. They did not turn a profit.
That doesn't matter.
No. Like, it doesn't, because by the time October comes, it's going to be completely different. They're going to be making so much money despite themselves. So with that came Vince McMahon stating that wrestlers not being around are the reason of the ratings tanking.
Yeah, because of course it is, you know.
Yeah, of course. Injuries, yeah. These millennials these days, their bones are brittle. You know, just they're not strong like we were back in the day.
Yeah. You know? They're all like fucking Bob Orton, work with a broken arm.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare these guys claim they have a concussion? I took chair shots on my head all the time.
Yeah, dude. It's just the usual nonsense from this company.
Yeah,
just the usual, like, everybody who, you know, knows anything just roll their fucking eyes. It's that nonsense.
Yeah. And with that as well, they say there's going to be a revamp of the network come out in September.
Yeah, what's that about?
Well, I would imagine they'll do that that other tier that they've been hitting at for years with the movies on it. And which they're not going to get that from me.
No,
I will not pay more than what I'm paying for the WWE Network. If they come out and say, hey, on this new revamped WWE Network, you can't get pay-per-views no more. You've got to get the premium tier to get the pay-per-views. Guess what? Tala Fudge does not see the wrestling pay-per-views no more. I will not pay any more money for this WWE Network.
We could be already sharing a fucking show login, but we don't. We actually both give them our money. Fuck.
Well, see, the thing is, your show login, I'd have to get a VPN to work it in here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's...
Anyway.
the States.
I feel you. It's just that company drinks Kool-Aid. I mean, like, you know, do they, the rest of them believe that? Like, do you think Steph and Shane and shit believe that? Or do you think they're, like, smarter than that?
I can believe that Steph could believe it. In my opinion, there's a reason why Shane is not allowed to touch anything. It's probably because he doesn't have the same views as his father. Like, I've heard that Stephanie always had the better mind for the business. That's why Steph was always given the higher up, because they thought Steph had a better mind for the business than Shane did. So
she would just do whatever he wanted. Shane was being a male. Definitely, you get to that point, you challenge your father. You know, you don't eat your father's shit forever.
No,
you know,
no, exactly.
That happens. Yeah, happened way. I mean, it's funny that it took him as long as it did to happen, but. He just wants a hug, probably. Yeah, you know, he just wants his dad to say, like, hey, man, I'm proud of you, and, like, I love you. You know? That's why he used to keep jumping off high shit all the time. It's like,
But, like, that's where I was going, though, that Shane probably does have a better mind for it than Stephanie. He just stands up for himself more, and Vince just doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And maybe he's like, dog shit. I don't know.
Like, just because you're half of him, like, half his cum, that you're supposed to be good at this?
Yeah,
you know, you've been around it your whole life, but that doesn't mean you fucking gave a shit about it or truly understand it.
No, I don't know. No, I'm sure that if you're around it your whole life, you're going to gain some kind of understanding as to how it works, and you could probably fake your way through it. You know what I mean? Because you've seen enough of it.
Be like if I fucking hired you to do a job, and instead of having somebody who actually knows how to do the job, I had somebody who's like kind of fucking crazy and does it all ass backwards and is somehow still successful.
Yeah. I can equate it this way. My father is a fantastic taper, you know, going in and once the drywall's up, making it all a nice surface so you can paint it. He's fantastic at that. And I've done it with him many, many, many times. I can fake it. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody was like, hey, Taller, can you come do my basement? I'd be like, yep. But it ain't going to be nowhere near as good as he can do it. You know what I mean? Right? Like, I'm not a taper by trade, but I can pretend to be.
Yeah. It's like me with bartending. I was a bartender for a while. I'm fucking a garbage bartender, but, you know, I worked actually bartended with my old man as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's weird.
Seems like it'd be fun. Because my father used to bartend, too. When we lived in Newfoundland, he owned a bar. And he owned the only bar in town. So, like,
I suppose.
Yeah, so, like, it was kind of 500 people. How many bars can you have, right? We would... you know, I would go over and clean up with him on Sundays and shit like that. And, like, it's weird. It's weird that both of us have something similar like that.
Yeah, that was, like, some of the most fun I had, man, with my old man, working the bar with him. Fucking great. Like, I'm doing shit and busting ass, and, like, all of a sudden I look down one time, and he's my father's, like, fucking yelling at this dude and spraying him in the face with his spray gun, like, over the fucking bar. Like, holy shit. Security rushes in. Like, he's fucking... Yeah, with, you know, like the soda gun.
Oh, I was thinking like a fucking super soaker or something.
No, no, yeah, you know, your fucking soda gun. He just started fucking blasting this dude.
That's fucking dope.
Because the guy was being a fucking drunk prick, so he told him to get the fuck out of away from his bar and like start spraying the dude. Big melee and shit. Yeah, that's bartending with fucking paw vicious.
Paw vicious.
Anyway. That's a whole other fucking thing. What else we got in the news this week?
Can you remember me telling you about a Vice show that got shelved?
And I saw this. Yeah, yes, coming back.
Coming back. All due to the viewership. Dark Side of the Ring is getting like 250,000 viewers. That's more than most wrestling TV shows.
That's way more than Impact.
It's way more than Impact. So like... Obviously, this is like, okay, Vice is like, oh, okay, well, wrestling is cool. Like, people will watch the wrestling stories. I cannot wait for this Damian Abrams Vice show to come out. Because I've always been a fan of his band, Fucked Up. I've always been a fan.
He's a cool dude. I've talked to him before on Twitter and shit.
Yeah,
he's
cool, like, I met him at one of my Facebook profile pictures used to be me and him at a concert. We talked about wrestling for about like 15 minutes. Me and Travis and him, we met him after the show, and he was like, "Oh, you guys gonna watch Money in the Bank the next night? Like tomorrow?" I was like, "No, we're actually gonna go see a live Mick Foley show." He's like, "Oh, dope!" And yeah. Then we started talking about Four Horsemen and shit.
Yeah, I don't know. He's also the dude who did that like Viceland, like the one on the CZW. Online with the Tournament of Death shit.
Yeah, yeah. And he does a lot of weed shows too. So I mean, he's right up our alley,
dude. I've really started getting into Vice lately. Have you ever watched the show Bon Appetit?
I've seen it on my Crave, and I haven't seen it.
Toasted by Be Real from Cypress Hill.
Really?
And it's like a top. It's like a cooking show. It's like Chopped, but with weed and like CBD oils, and like it's crazy, man. And the whole time, the judges would be real, this chick and some other dude. They just sit there and they're blazing blunts the whole time, and then they're eating. Like I'd be fucking on the floor by the end of that shit. But it's pretty cool. The Vice TV channel is fucking awesome. Anyway. Holy shit. Yeah, this show is called The Wrestlers.
Yes.
And this is highlights various wrestling programs across the world. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, it's begun sharing some of its subjects through a Twitter account.
Well, yeah, there's one episode where it's a documentary of Onita. And he goes and he meets Onita, and he talks to Onita and stuff. Like, how many American documentaries have talked to Onita? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking cool. He goes over and he meets all the Stardom chicks and everything, and it's all kinds of just wrestling from around the world. And like, they spent so much money on the show, it's crazy for them not to release it.
Great. No, looking forward to it, man. And I've been loving Dark Side of the Ring. This week was the Brody one, which we all watched like weeks ago.
Yeah.
Kind of pissed me off. I was like, but next week is the Von Erichs.
Oh my God.
Which I've already seen some great documentaries on that, but everyone is saying this is like even better than that.
Yeah. Apparently this one's really good. Like Kevin Von Erich's really good in it. Like there's I can't wait. It's going to be a good. Like there's so much to tell about the Von Erichs, you know, like all the deaths, like it's a tragic story in itself. Like it's so sad. So fucking sad. That's
fucking crazy.
Yeah. They didn't stand a chance, though. Those sons did not stand a chance. I would guess. If Kevin Von or what's their father's name? Fucking
Fritz.
Fritz. Yeah. If Fritz Von Erich wasn't their father, they probably wouldn't have died.
I don't know, man. That's an interesting take. That's how you take it, really?
Von Erich didn't push them to the spotlight, like, because do you think they had a choice in this? You know what I mean, like. So young, it's like, you know, if you guys don't join my company, we're not going to be able to eat. You know, like I would imagine that's because it's carny shit. This is fucking wrestling, right?
I see your point of view on that. I see what you're saying. Like, oh, was Fritz Von Erich a great father? No,
no,
you know, obviously no, not. He's kind of a piece of shit at times. But also, those kids got everything, man. Like, you got given all this shit.
Right.
You could have just not been a fuck up. I mean, like, or you could have just like not did drugs and shit.
But it's hard to tell a kid who's being given everything to not do drugs.
Well, yeah, you know, sure, but I don't know.
The main reason why I didn't get into drugs when I was a kid is because I couldn't afford to. My parents wouldn't give me the money to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I had enough to buy a fucking joint every now and then, you know, but I didn't have enough to fucking go out and try Coke. You know,
I navigated that world when I was young. I navigated the world of drugs, you know, anything of my parents, you know, and not like they fucking did much of shit. But, you know, I still didn't ever fucking do heroin. Well, shoot heroin.
Oh, God,
I smoked heroin one time. Anyway, the point is, I didn't become a drug addict, you know?
No.
So why couldn't they have not been drug addicts too?
Who knows? You know? Who knows, man? Who knows?
I could have did the cocaine and all that shit in my life. I could have done fucking heroin and shit. You don't. Because that's not a good idea.
It's not.
I see crackheads around now and it's like, or meth heads. I call them meth heads, crackheads. It's like, why would you even start doing meth now? Why would you even try meth? Like, we have a long, like, we've done a lot of research on this.
It's
never a success story, dude.
No,
you know? So why would you even fuck with it? Like, there's no point. Dumb. Anyway.
No, I get that. I would never, there's no way in hell I'd ever try meth or heroin or any of that shit. It's not
just
my
like
thing.
Back in the day, but you know, like I tried it, you know, but I don't know. Yeah. To be like 2019 and be like, oh, I wonder how this will turn out. You know, even heroin, same shit. I don't even take opiates when I like need to, you know, I like throw my back out. Like, here, have opiates. Like, no, I'm good. Thanks. I'm good.
Yeah, no, I got the kind of personality. If I try it, I'm going to keep on trying it.
Yeah, that's why I don't gamble and shit. I know myself. Yeah. Anyway, holy shit, we're very like sidetracky today.
We don't have a whole lot to talk about, so that's kind of a good thing.
Fuck it. It's our show. What do we want? We'll talk about what we want to.
Yeah.
Jazz released a statement explaining why she vacated the women's title. She'll no longer be in this match. So I don't know. She didn't really tell us anyone why, but medical and personal issues.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Sounds like the whole Becky Lynch pregnant abortion thing to me. Rodney Mack just got deep in those guts.
I forgot all about that.
I say Rodney Mack just fucked her too hard.
Yeah. Could be. Which is whatever. I mean, I'm like, she's pretty good and shit, but like, and I guess I did like her fucking like super sassy black lady thing she had going on, but
I love Jazz.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see Allison Kay and Santana Garrett. So, I mean, Allison Kay is a good wrestler. Santana Garrett's really nice to look at.
I mean, I don't know much about Garrett. I just know she's everywhere. I've seen her, right? She's been on NXT. She's been Ring of Honor. She's kind of all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll watch it, you know?
Yeah, and she was the champion of that WOW women's wrestling thing for a while, which I never watched once. But
yeah, well, Tanahashi discharged from hospital following elbow surgery.
Oh, good.
I have no idea how long he's supposed to be out.
About time for him to get that fucking surgery, don't you think?
No shit, right? So there's that. You see this shit about this NXT referee who broke his leg?
Man, what a trooper! Like that guy deserves a job for life. Like Kota Ibushi.
This must have been close to the finish when he
had
did it.
Had to have.
I mean, like, that thing, like, as he was going down, maybe it broke. I have no idea.
Because that was like Sid Vicious levels of break.
I made it to. It might be the picture right now of our Facebook group.
I seen it there. It was fucking dope.
People are like, what the fuck, dude? This is him like counting his legs all fucking, yeah, Sid Vicious up.
It's fucking fantastic.
Tremendous. The injury occurred during a match between Tyler Breeze and Velveteen Dream. Dude, if Breeze is down there, can we like get him back on the show? Can we have him on takeover shows and shit? Like, right? I like that dude as a dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, the character he never of Tyler got Breeze is so good. No, he never. They never even let him do the character on Raw. You know what I mean? Yeah. They stuck him with Summer Rae and then they just squandered it away.
For one thing, I liked the kind of questionable sexuality of the Tyler Breeze character.
Yep. Well, also, I mean, it's kind of what they did with Velveteen Dream too, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, if Tyler Breeze was hetero, he would get a way better looking, he would get a chick with a better fucking nose than Summer Rae.
That's very true.
He ain't gonna be banging no bitch with no witch nose and shit.
He ain't gonna be fucking no Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah. If you like maybe from up, like above, her face head would look okay. But like if you got like a side profile, like she was sucking your dick and you looked over to the side and saw it in the mirror, you see that big like drooping over witch nose.
Yeah. No, Tyler Breeze could easily get, you know, the good witch from Wizard of Oz for sure.
Yeah, I like Velveteen. They're kind of doing like Velveteen has like sexy dudes with him, but he also has sexy women with him sometimes.
Yeah,
it's like 50-50. Yes. It's awesome. Undertaker Kurt Angle pulled from the StarCast event.
Yeah. And Conrad asked for Steph and all these other people in replacement, and then like all the proceeds go to Conor's cure, then he'll match all the proceeds himself, and they still won't do it because they're dickheads. Yeah,
he's a cheeky motherfucker.
Yeah
he's, to their own charity.
He knew exactly how to get them back and make them look bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and he did it great for a guy that's gotten WWE paychecks. Dude, that's so fucking dope.
Yeah. I kind of dig it, man. Like, I, you know, I kind of dig it. Yeah. It's a fair
really,
point.
It was a really good fuck you to you because he knew they weren't going to do that. But it's like, I will make it so that you can't say no, but you will say no. But I'll make it so that you can't say no and you'll look like dickheads doing it.
It's ridiculous. And they could fight him, but they'd end up fighting him forever. And
it wouldn't
that's
be
kind of the
it.
Problem. These days, these people who have a ton of money can kind of fucking do whatever they want to because you don't have the money to fight against them to take your shit to court in America anyway.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking joke, man. But that's just another one of the jokes of this fucking country.
That's the good thing about AEW now, though. They've got somebody that has a bankroll, so they can't fuck with AEW because guess what? The cons have more money than Vince. So
just look at it. It's like that Ring of Honor deal. They're like, we're going to cock block Ring of Honor from MSG. And then, you know,
Sinclair with their super right wing fucking.
Well, they come in with tons of money and they're like, OK, well, maybe we won't fucking, you know.
Yeah.
So they got the building, you know. That's all it is, man. Money over everything, I guess. So there's that. What else we got?
Let's
Bobby Roode is now Robert Roode.
Dude, him and Silas Young need to be a tag team right now.
Yeah, brothers.
Oh, dude. To me, seeing Bobby Roode like this, this gives him a whole new light for me because he looks so fucking cool.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It looks like
very
your fucking
mighty
shitty
mustache.
Uncle. Yeah, it is. It's a great mustache. And so, like, to me, it really, as soon as I looked at him, I didn't watch Raw. But I looked at him like that. I was like, oh, he's a heel now for sure.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. So he like, it's crazy
because,
how just little things
why,
like have changed it. Well, like,
you know, that's so dumb. It's like one week he's on a face tag team with Gable. The next week he's got a fucking gay porn mustache, and he's Robert Roode, and he's a bad guy because.
Yeah, no.
I don't fucking know why, dude.
And they don't know why. But
no one knows
at
why.
At least he's going to be more in his element now because that character of Bobby Roode or Robert Roode that he was doing was so much better as a heel. And it was never a babyface gimmick to begin with, but they just turned it into a babyface gimmick because of the song.
Yeah.
Which,
oh, that's another
which
example.
The song, I hope the song goes away.
Oh, it is. I'm sure it is. I don't even fucking want to hear that song anymore. No. But it was cool for a little while.
It was really cool. I used to listen to it in my car.
They took a fully fleshed out character, you know, from NXT and just shit the bed on it, you know, when he came up, of course. So there's that. Well, I think we'll have some Raw notes maybe later on here because there's a few things we got to discuss. Rhea Ripley, called some people faggots, I guess, or.
What?
A stupid motherfucking faggot.
Who did she say that to?
She was streaming on Twitch, and I guess you can be tipped. Should tip her $15. Who wanted to be insulted in Australian slang? So she responded by calling him a motherfucking, you know, which, you know, I don't really think is. I don't know. You paid money to be insulted.
Well, yes, but like. Is using
Australian
the word
say shit like
faggot just an Australian thing? No, it's not. Is you know what I mean?
No. Well, no, I'm saying it's just like I wouldn't have done that. Probably,
I wouldn't have. Definitely not in a public form.
If I worked for WWE, I definitely wouldn't.
No,
I don't even know. Is that go against the rules of Twitch? I have no idea.
Well, like,
but you got to do that shit. Like, is that where you're at in life? Like. You got to go on Twitch and like in little clothes and like get tip money to call people. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just weird.
It is weird. And just like, can't you think of something more creative? You know what I mean?
They're paying
you money. Why don't you just like try to use a word that nobody's going to find super offensive? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's one of like the few words that people don't like you to say.
Yeah, it really is.
So like,
it really is.
Why don't you just not say it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just not a good. It's not a good thing.
No,
but you know, I thought it was blown out of proportion too. I mean, like, if you know the background of it, like, okay, they were paid to be insulted. I think that kind of fucking pulls the rules on that. You know, that kind of pulls
the
goalie
agree.
On offensive words.
I agree. Yeah. And then she got the defense too that the word originally meant a wet bundle of sticks.
Exactly. But I would never call a gay person that.
No.
But I will definitely call my straight friends faggots. You know, I'm sorry. That's how it is.
I will say I've used it a couple of times in the last recent memory, and it's went over swimmingly with the people I said it to. Like, they laughed really hard. So
yeah. But obviously using it, you know,
no, I would never, yeah,
as a weapon against gay people is disgusting.
I would, fuck it, you, it so. Is it is there's it's deplorable, kind of really weird.
Yeah, kind of a shitty story for situation for her, kind of dumb, but you know, she's young too, so yep. I'm not gonna hold
she's
against
got, she's got to learn. You know, this is one way she will learn.
Yeah. This Shadia Biseiso, I feel like I'm doing Mark Tank here. She was reportedly released from NXT. She was the first Arab woman from the Middle East to sign with WWE. So, I don't know. That's fair.
I mean,
that was just the charity fucking work anyway. It's not like they're going to take take some chick and like take her hood off of her and fucking make her into a pro wrestling star.
Oh, fuck.
Get out of here. What else we got? We had a bunch of tryout attendees for NXT. Like a lot of them.
Oh, like names we'd recognize or...
A few. You want to? I always like going through these just to gauge your reaction. First off, Ivelisse. From Lucha Underground, former NXT wrestler.
Why would she go back there?
Well, where else are you going to go?
I mean,
that's
I
the
suppose.
Most money.
Yeah, yeah, you're
for
right.
For women?
You're right. No, for a woman, yeah. You know, AEW is not even a viable option for the women because look what they've turned that women's division into. Like, I don't think that women's division is going to be anything of note. Allie?
No.
Brandy? Come on. That's not a women's division. That's a divas division right there. That's
yeah,
not,
dude, Brandy's... Brandy's the fucking worst.
Yeah, and so is Allie. Allie's not a good wrestler. She's not. She's a pretty face. She got big tits. And she got over because of her character and impact. But it's not. It's got nothing to do with her in-ring ability. And it's a shame like that's what you're looking for.
She looks like the girl next door, you know? She's like the kind of girl that like you hire to babysit your kids. Yeah. And then like, way taking her home, like you're just thinking about like, oh, I just want to fucking...
Can I get her to touch my dick, I wonder, for a tip?
Just want a nut in this chick's mouth right now.
Oh, fuck.
But unlike those chicks, Ivelisse actually is a very good wrestler.
She is.
You know? So I... We'll see if they don't sign her fucking AEW Impact. Anybody sign this girl? What are
Somebody
you fucking
will.
Doing? Yeah, she's really good. Lance Anoa'i. You lost me at Anoa'i. Son of former tag team champion Samu, grandson of Alpha.
Is he the guy like that does the MLW thing?
Is it? Is that the fucking guy?
Because if that's him, then they've got a good fucking person on their hands because he's fucking good.
Oh, yeah, that guy is actually really good.
Let me see here. Lance, I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, that is him.
It is him? Then, you know what, man? Good for them. Keep him.
No, I'll take that back. I was going to say, like, I don't want to see any more Samoans, but that dude is actually really good.
Yeah. I would like to see them do something with him because he's out of all the Anoa'is that I've seen, he's the one that stands out the most over the last few years. Like, you got this big guy with that big old rump like Rikishi and all of the family doing moonsaults and shit. Fuck yes.
Mm. He's really good. But also, they have... I guess they don't have a lot of them right now, but I got really, like, WWE really, especially maybe it was just the Reigns shit, like, really made me sour on Samoan wrestlers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Reigns is the most popular one right now, the Usos as well. Like, when you type in Lance Anoa'i, the first thing you see is him wearing an Uso shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
okay, well, there you go.
There's also the one guy that was in the NXT for a little while, too, wasn't there? That was related to him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one I always said was like the failed Uso that they was like he kept in the basement and fed moldy pancakes under the door.
Like, it was like the Bart from the Treehouse of Horror that they kept upstairs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What the fuck was his name?
I can't remember. No.
Anoa'i, you know, ain't going to fucking remember what his name is. James Wilder, former NFL running back. Emily and Ann Zulis, the winner of The Rock's Titan Games show.
Okay, fair enough. Didn't know that was even a thing.
Lots of football players, man. Tywan Jones, former NFL player for the Jets. Chris Martin, NFL player. Jonna Angel, she's a 6'3" volleyball player. I looked her up. She's pretty hot too, blonde. I bet they sign her.
You know what, volleyball players, they know how to fall.
Oh yeah. Well, and you know who else is down there? Fucking King Volleyball himself. Canyon Seaman. Oh.
Was he a volleyball player?
Yeah, fuck yeah, he was. Oh. Yeah, he was a fucking beach volleyball player. And for some reason, he decides on talent and shit in NXT. It's a fucking joke, man. That guy will be out, like, scouting and shit with, you know, Regal and stuff. And it's like, really, bro? You know, he doesn't know shit. He doesn't know shit. Fuck him.
Probably, you know what? He's probably told to go out and scout himself. And he's like, Regal, can you please come with me? I don't know what I'm doing.
Your name is Canyon Seaman. And you fucking had a life easy enough that you didn't have to like go to a job and shit, that you got so good at playing volleyball on the beach that was your career. Motherfucker, you see that a lot and shit, you know. It's like the only reason people are things is because their, you know, their childhood allowed such, you know. Like, they didn't have to, Kenya Seaman didn't have to get a job at 15. He was allowed to fuck around on the beach and play volleyball all day. Yeah, well, you fucking worked at McDonald's. You know,
it's a great life. Anyway.
Sorry for the tangent. But yeah, Danica Rouge.
Oh, I'll co-sign that tangent. Yeah. Math joke that nobody's going to get.
There you go. I don't know. I don't even know what we're doing anymore. Danica Rouge. She's a 25-year-old wrestler trained by the late Buddy Wayne.
Oh yeah, okay, fair enough.
But yeah, there's so many here, really. I mean, seems like ridiculous to kind of go through them all, but Nick Rodriguez, Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter, former NCAA wrestler.
Oh.
Let's see, independent wrestlers, I mean, they got, let's see if anyone stands out here. Michael Delbry, I don't know who that is. He's an indie wrestler.
No idea.
They put them by their real names on here, I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe Edrin Stone. I don't know who that is either. B-Rad Brad somewhere is like, Edrin Stone, man. I'm a fucking giant Edrin Stone fan. I got his t-shirt right here.
We almost need a segment where B-Rad Brad comes on and tells us about his favorite indie wrestlers that nobody knows about this week.
It's just something. The indie fucking roundup.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What's going on out there?
Yeah, the indie roundup.
Who are the guys to look out for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we could get him to start doing it in the group. Focus on dudes who are like, who he thinks are awesome, you know? We can, so we can become aware of him.
Yeah.
Because he's ahead of the curve on a lot of motherfuckers, you know? So
He is. He's got his finger on the pulse. That's for sure.
He knows. Then indeed he does. Let's see. Yeah. The Storm, Tony Evelyn, the independent wrestler. Guy from Australia. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Who's this guy who wrestles as Sugar Bear? AJ Francis.
No
idea. Former NFL tackle who wrestles as Sugar Bear.
Won't be able to tell you, buddy.
Mm. But either way, dude, this list is huge. It's a bunch of fucking people. So, Sydney Bateman, a Cirque du Soleil acrobat.
I mean, I'm sure she'd be able to do some flips.
Courtney Lynn Rossell, an obstacle course racer.
I mean, that's what Casey Catanzaro was.
Yeah. She's also like 4 feet tall, that girl.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jonathan Young. This one's interesting. Protege of Lex Luger and former swimmer.
Oh, my God. Protege of Lex Luger. He can't even fucking walk. How can he be a protege?
If Lex Luger rolled up to me and he said, "I'm you can go around calling yourself my protege," I'd be like, "No fucking thanks, Lex."
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do it either. It's a kiss of death right there.
Go ahead and roll away. You need me to get started with a push.
Yeah, I'll give you your best push of your life, buddy.
That's not true. That guy got a zillion pushes.
Oh, yeah, no, but I'd push him right over the wharf.
So who got pushed on? Zack Ryder? Was that? Who took that big fucking
wheelchair spot off the stage.
Zack Ryder, I think. Was it Zack Ryder?
Might have been.
Roman. Braun took Roman on a wheelchair.
No, way before that.
Oh.
Way before that.
Okay.
Like, they took an actual, like, fucking dive off there.
It might have been Zack Ryder, because he was doing that gimmick where, like, Eva Torres or whatever fucking low-blowed him at WrestleMania or whatever, and he was injured for a bit.
If you go on YouTube and get yourself over fucking on your own hard work and you have like a crazy passion for the business, they'll dump you off the fucking stage in a wheelchair. I thought that dude like deserved more than he got, man. And I'm not even like a huge fan of him or anything, but it's like, fuck, man. You just shit on this guy for, you know, what belt did they give him? The U.S. belt at Mania, and then he...
Intercontinental at Mania. He was he beat Dolph Ziggler for the U.S. title. I remember when he beat Dolph Ziggler, the crowd went absolutely insane for his title win. And then they just shit the bed on it.
Well, like, he dropped it the next day, right? After that in Raw.
No. That's the Intercontinental title.
Oh, okay.
This was years ago when he was first, you know, like when he got the internet championship over on YouTube, and WWE was like, well, I guess we got to push him now. He won the U.S. title from Ziggler after a couple weeks of hinting at it kind of deal. And once he won, the crowd went absolutely insane. And if I'm not mistaken, they just rolled him into a WrestleMania angle where he was the laughing joke of it all. But then at the same vein, can you remember when Dolph Ziggler cashed in his Money in the Bank against Alberto Del Rio?
Like, yeah.
The crowd went totally fucking bonkers. There's a string of guys that they've done this to. Because Dolph Ziggler could have been something if they actually would have booked him well.
Yeah, well, dude's gone now. I mean, I don't know where the fuck he'll be back at some point. I mean, imagine when that dude comes back, you know, whenever that is, a month from now or something. I'm here, this show. Fuck, my eyes are rolling already, dude. Yeah.
I agree. 100%.
I don't think there's anyone I give less of a shit about. Maybe Randy Orton.
yeah.
It's like Ziggler and Orton, Sheamus. Those dudes are about it. Well, no, Sheamus isn't at that level yet, actually. Ziggler and Orton for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the graphics for the Money in the Bank?
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
Airing on television in the local market. Do you have to do it that way? Like, is that the only way to do it? I don't know.
It does seem a little Bush League.
Counterproductive.
Very counterproductive. But at the same time, if this is the Money in the Bank match we're going to get with, what, Cesaro, Mysterio, Ricochet, who else is
Black.
In this? Black.
Andrade.
Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan was good in that fucking ladder match he had at NXT.
Yeah.
So,
and then you also have McIntyre.
So. And McIntyre, yeah. It's that could be, you've got a core of solid bases. I wouldn't consider Lars Sullivan as a solid base, but Cesaro and McIntyre, you could do anything with those guys. And then you've got some high flyers that Ray, Ricochet, those two guys. Ricochet is gonna put on a fucking clinic, I would imagine, in that match. And Ray is gonna do
Andrade.
It's going to be so good
as fuck.
Yeah. It's going to be fucking fantastic. I can't wait for Money in the Bank just for that match.
You know, kind of interesting, too, with this. I mean, aside from Mysterio, who, despite the fact that he's like, you know, one of the oldest dudes in the company, I'm not sick of him, you know, and I don't view him as like, oh, an old, like, oh, fucking same old. You've got a fresh group of people here other than Cesaro, which, you know, he's fresh back to this. I mean, you got Ricochet, Black, Andrade. You know, you got a lot of new guys here, man. I actually thought it was like, you know.
Yeah. Who would you put that Money in the Bank on? I would imagine they're going to give it to Drew McIntyre.
But there's a guy who doesn't even... They always do
he
that
doesn't
shit.
Need it. No, but it's just the easy way out.
Why do they put
out
it on the guy who doesn't need it all the goddamn time?
Yeah, like because Drew McIntyre, there's nobody will blink an eye at Drew McIntyre walking into a title picture. You know what I mean?
No.
It's the kind of thing that a guy like Ricochet or Black or Almas should win. Because those are the guys that, to the average fan, if you throw them in a main event picture, they're just not going to buy it. Because who are these guys? These guys are nothing. You know, like Ricochet does. I've seen Ricochet for like a month. Really, why does he deserve a title shot? That's the kind of guys that should get this. Not McIntyre. There's something we said that maybe Cesaro could use it because they can't seem to book him any other way. but that's about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give it to Rey Mysterio. I wouldn't do that at all. I wouldn't give it to Lars Sullivan because he's a monster. You can just have him destroy somebody.
I like the idea of Almas, but they had Finn Balor beat him on fucking SmackDown this week. Not to say that that's like, oh, it's over now, but I mean, he's been in, you know, he beat Balor, Balor beat him this week. So, I mean, the 50-50 shit. Yeah. But I think a guy like Andrade with, you know, with her on the, with Vega on the mic, you know, you could do a lot of fun heel shit with the briefcase.
Yep. Yep. I agree 100%. And of course, with this whole Charlotte debacle going on, if it is true that she has all this pull, well, this is probably a make good.
I don't know if they're going to be happy with him over that whole thing, but I'd be happy with anybody other than McIntyre, Mysterio, or Sullivan.
Yeah. Any other ones make complete sense. Do you want to touch on that whole Charlotte thing?
I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know if that's, what do you think about it?
I would imagine, like, if you look on the outside, right, the Fox News bit where they think, where it came out that Fox News was unhappy that there was no Latino stars on SmackDown, that, you know, it makes sense, you know what I mean? But it's, I don't know, if Charlotte did pull this, she kind of put a wrinkle in everything because they had to move black as well because of Zelina Vega.
Which is a whole other thing. It's like, I understand it. It's like, you know, wanting to work with people, like, okay, yeah, we don't want to split you up. But on the other point, it's like, fuck all these people, dude. Everybody is fucking and it's ridiculous. And we're going to sit and have to plan all of our shit around the fact that everybody's fucking somebody.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, too, you put them through enough shit that at least have them on the road with their significant other could help. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you got a fucking plan, you got shit to do, like, fuck them. I mean, you know?
No, I agree. I agree 100% that they shouldn't have to.
But now you can't be that, you know, because now they have to be like, oh, we're nice guys. They're trying to look like a fucking nice guy right now.
Yeah.
While holding a knife behind their back. So whatever, man. But I just think that shit's crazy. I mean, I get it. You're on the road all the time together, but all the more reason to not have a women's division on your fucking company, honestly. Now,
I will say this for the sake of all the people in the WWE that have shacked up with somebody that works at the WWE, Charlotte and her pull is probably helps them a little bit because they're like, oh, we can't do this shit no more. You know what I mean? But if they were truly a creative company, you could figure a way to do this without breaking everybody up. It's easy, and you can't do it for some, and you can't do it for some and not do it for the others. You know what I mean? If you're going to do it for you, they used to, yes, but like
they used to just be like, you know, like people who would have heat, they would just do it to be dicks.
Yeah. But like you see it with the Usos and Naomi, they've moved over. They just try to see they just try to keep the couples together, and I mean it's not a bad thing, but I don't know.
But you've worked places where. Like, there's two people who fuck, right, at your job.
Yeah.
Or maybe and you, maybe you're fucking some girl who works there, too. Okay. But that in itself is... I used to. Anyway. It sucks, right? It totally fucking sucks. Now, imagine if it was, like, everybody you worked with. You know, if you're, like, a person that's, like, your wife is at home, like, you know, or whatever. Like, in AJ Styles, right? And you're just, everybody is fucking everybody, and everyone's fucked everybody else before. What a shitty environment. Ugh, I wouldn't even want to be around that.
No, I agree. It's like going to the Olympics.
Yeah.
As Jeff Cobb would say, everybody gets fucked in the Olympics, except if you're from Guam.
They should have done something back in the day with that and try to fucking set some rules or something. Or I don't know, man.
Because there's a lot of companies that do not let you do it. You can be terminated for it. But when you got a case like the WWE where you're on the road 7 or 5 days a week and you're only home for like a 36-hour span, you can't really be like, okay, well, you guys can't do anything like this. Ever.
Oh, I know. I get it. I'm not saying I have a solution for it. I'm just saying I would hate to be in that position. You know. But yeah. What else we got? Dean Malenko.
Yes. Was
quit, WWE.
I heard he was released. I've heard both, actually.
I already quit.
Knows?
But
who knows? And he's immediately on StarCast.
Yeah.
And then who was who's the wrestler for Chikara? The main guy. I can't remember now. The guy that does the booking.
Quackenbush?
Quackenbush. No. Yeah, it was Quackenbush. He was like, I want a match with Dean Malenko, please.
Right? Yeah. Good luck with that one, bro. Yeah. One thing that we didn't talk about, which was a big story, was the CM Punk thing, the returning allegedly to a show in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
When I first seen it, it's a very low res video, and the guy looked very skinny, and the GTS was very weak looking to me. I immediately discarded it. I was like, "That's not CM Punk. There's no way it's CM Punk." Right? And then you see that CM Punk took pictures with fans outside wearing the exact same sweater. I mean, it's possible, but also with CM Punk, I wouldn't put it past him. It'll be like, hey, take my sweater, kid. Go out and do a fucking GTS. Let's play these fans. Let's play these marks.
Yeah.
Right? I believe that 100%.
I don't know. I think he is really skinny now. If you look at him, he is super fucking skinny.
Yeah.
And that ring was dog shit.
It was dog shit. That's probably the reason why the GTS looks so bad.
So there's that. I don't know. There's a shot came out face on with a dude in the ring. It kind of looks like him to me. Yeah,
it does. And they said too, this is not the first time he's done this, where he's come out in a mask and just, you know, be, you know, he just stand there and do nothing but CM Punk.
Yeah. So that's all fine and good. You know, and like, I am happy for the dude. You do whatever you want. You never wrestle again if you want, but come on.
If you're going to do this stuff, you might as well.
I feel like if you truly hate Vince McMahon and Triple H as much as you, I know he does.
Yeah.
Fucking this is the move to make.
Something. Headline something.
Go to AEW and do everything you can to help fuck with them while making money. They'll pay you know how much money they'd pay that motherfucker.
Oh, dude, they would. You know,
he was Tony Khan's first pick. He said,
"Yeah,
I think that was this week in an interview. He said that."
I think that if CM Punk went to AEW, he would easily make Chris Jericho money. Easily.
I mean, you gotta, right?
Yeah, you have
the same neighborhood.
But at the same time, though, he's still under contract with the UFC. Right?
Yeah, but they're not going to do anything with him.
They're not going to do anything with him. But they're doing he's doing commentary or something. You know what I mean? But a contract is still a contract. Dana White he'll barely let UFC guys go to the WWE for a show, let alone some wrestling company he's never heard of. He's not going to let him do it.
I think he could get out, but you know, it's just if he wants. I don't know. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that? I don't get it.
Yeah,
like I get that WWE would make you hate everything, hate wrestling.
Yeah,
but like enough to never want to do it again, especially somewhere like with people you know, and I don't know. Yeah.
Well, like, and it's I've had times where just watching WWE's made me not want to watch wrestling no more. So I can only imagine certain jobs I've had, I've hated the job so much that I wouldn't even want to look at that after, you know what I mean? But I don't know, something like wrestling that you grow up your whole life loving, I don't think you ever really lose it. And you know, him doing this kind of stuff really proves that he does not hate it as much as he says he does.
Mm. Yeah, it's like with music, man. I was in bands nonstop for 20 years. And then the last one I got out of was like 4 years ago, and it was such a shitty experience that I was just like, fuck, I hate this. I'm done with this. And I quit after like 20 years straight.
Yeah.
And then now here it is 4 years later, and I'm like kind of starting to start up a new band. So, you know, you can step away for a while, but eventually if you fucking love it, you'll be back to it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. It'll make its way back. You always got these guys that, you know, they always say never in the wrestling business. Because people always come back. Ric Flair came back so many times. Terry Funk has never left. So
I don't think CM Punk will ever do anything with WWE.
No.
I don't think he'd even take a Hall of Fame induction with them. But, you know, will he do something somewhere else? I hope so, man. He's the biggest piece of business out there, right? Who else could you sign right now
that would
from
make such
available
a wave?
People?
Nobody.
I mean, even the not available people. There's no... I don't think there's anybody who would be as big of a fucking get as that.
No, not in the American market, that's for sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you were to go to Japan, sure, like, CM Punk's not going to be as big as anybody else. Like an Okada or a Tanahashi or a Ibushi.
Oh, sure.
But here in America, CM Punk is the creme de la, like, you know, he's what everybody's looking for. He's the what's the Indiana Jones thing that they're always searching for?
I don't know. Holy Grail?
Maybe. That sounds a little much. I don't like the sounds of that. CM Punk's the Holy Grail. No, he's not.
That's the biggest piece of business you're going to fucking get.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of big pieces of business, Nia Jax had both of her ACLs repaired.
Should I?
Yeah, dude.
He's fat!
It's fatter than when she started in the company. How do you go on the road, wrestle fucking every day, and somehow get fatter? I don't get it.
Well, maybe Braun Strowman likes some chunky.
Oh, yeah, like, who gives a fuck, man? Like, just stop. Just when your knees get better, just do something else with your life, man.
Yeah, she doesn't need to be a wrestler.
It's ridiculous. You hear that car alarm? Because we're in the ghetto.
Ghetto kids.
Dude, the car alarm the other day, it went off for like 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Nobody I wanted cared. To just go out and just jump on top of it. Anyway. Dean Ambrose removed from the active roster page on the website. I just still don't know what to make of this whole thing, man.
Yeah, I still don't think he's really left. I think he's... Like, you did mention that like you guys make it really hard to retire. But at the same time, I don't know. It's something seems fishy. I don't think Dean Ambrose is going to retire right away. But he might. He's always said that he only had a few more years left in the business and he was just going to walk away from it. So like, maybe.
Did he say he retired? No,
during the promo, the from the Shield whatever thing. Whatever that fucking garbage match was.
What a fucking joke that show was. Holy shit.
I didn't watch it. I just heard about it. I won't watch Raw and SmackDown, let alone a fucking match from a random house show. Fuck that.
I kind of watched a little bit. Did you see the clip of the Riot Squad in the ring with Elias all singing some song? No. Horribly out of key. Just terrible.
No, I did not.
Entertainment. Okay. But, well, we'll see what happens with that dude, man. I'm interested. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd like to, you know, it'd be cool to see him go to AEW and really do a John Moxley character, not a Dean Ambrose character, not a wacky crazy, but an actual crazy guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not wacky Dean.
Yeah. Oh, wacky Dean.
Yeah, wacky Dean. Did you remember like pulling a fucking wagon down to the ring? Oh, like that was like the peak of
that was WrestleMania 33, wacky wasn't Dean. It?
I don't know, wacky Dean stupidity. Or he push out a popcorn cart, wasn't that, or a hot dog cart? That was on the. Oh yeah, he's wacky. but yeah, I don't know. Other than that.
I've got Kenta Kobashi is going to be a StarCast too. That's one guy I would pay all kinds of money to meet.
Yeah.
Other than that, ROH has three action figures coming out. Marty Scurll, PCO, and Brody King. I'm looking at the facial designs of them now, and they look spot on. unreal.
How weird is it going to be to get a Brody King fucking action figure?
Right? I just want to buy that thing just because.
Yeah.
I'd like to buy it and send it to my buddy Rob. And just be like, hey, here's an action figure, the guy that clotheslined you so hard it almost knocked you out. which he's actually heading to Double or Nothing in Vegas.
Oh, so, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be, I don't know. That shit, it seems like it would just be a fucking clusterfuck to me. I don't know, I'm starting into such a, like, I don't know, Stone and Shell of Time. I'm like, oh, a lot of people. That's a big place. I don't mind going
to a wrestling show that I know I'm going to be entertained at. But when it comes to a WWE show, I'll never do that again, ever.
Mm-hmm. There you go. What is coming up on the Federation, man?
We are going to record SummerSlam tomorrow, I believe. SummerSlam 96, Shawn Michaels and Vader. And coming out tomorrow morning for everybody, other you know, because it was out for Patreon, will be the WWF Invasion 2001.
There you go. Damn. That comes out on Sunday?
Comes out Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Live monster truck action.
Grand Prairie, Alberta.
There you go, man. Check that shit out. Everywhere podcasts are found. MoFudge.com. I'm not a side. Pay-per-view take two is way behind. WrestleMania fucking 11. You know what it's going. All right, it's coming. Got a lot of shit going on. Anyway, so there's that. I suppose before we look at some of these pay-per-views of the weekend and kind of just recap shit, let's hear again from another sponsor.
They've battled inside a steel cage, survived tables, ladders, and chairs, and graced WWE's grandest stage. Now, this summer at 7-Eleven, on the way to WWE SummerSlam, grab your slammin' collectible WWE Super Big Gulp Cups.
Get ready to slam your thirst at 7-Eleven.
Limited edition WWE Super Big Gulp Cups, only at 7-Eleven.
Oh, thank heaven.
Was that the Black Crows?
Fuck, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I have no idea on that shit. But we're going to round up some of the other shit we're going to do here. Raw, I can't wait. I've been waiting all week to hear your take on the new Bray Wyatt, man.
Yeah, you know, when I first seen it, like everybody else, I was scrolling through Twitter, because like I said, I don't watch Raw. I scrolled through Twitter, I seen this still of Bray Wyatt, and I just burst out in laughter. Yeah. Like, I'm sure all my roommates just thought I was going absolutely insane, because I was just sitting in my room just giggling at nothing. And then I watched the YouTube video of it, and I was just like, man, there's something about this that I like and I enjoy. I like seeing this guy, knowing full well that he is a madman, trying to appeal himself to children and still doing like some Bray Wyatt shit. To me, this is like this. They're trying to do Doink again. You know what I mean? Where it's a children's character, but really on just on the surface under it, it's very macabre and you know, it's just got underlying layers of just creepiness.
It could.
Like they are doing it a little bit though, where like he held up his hands, right, and like everything went all shaky and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like they're hinting at it that it's a little bit more of an adult oriented kids character, but I really hope that's the route they go. If they really just go a Bailey route and they're just slowly trying to get there, I got no interest in it at all. But like I've seen you on Twitter say, It's in a company that's devoid of all creativity, this is at least something that piques my interest and I want to see where it goes.
It's something. Yeah. A lot of people shit on it from go, and I was like, I mean, they literally never do anything. So like, I was like, wow, it's like something creative, man.
They're doing something different.
I'll give it a go.
And Puff Bray Wyatt looks like a body guy now, so
he's fucking jacked. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm cool with that. Maybe we'll get some more entertaining matches.
Yeah, it's like one of the few things that they actually have going that I don't hate. Yep. I think this show was terrible. They, of course, started it with, you know, the 900 interruptions.
Do you know why? Because I know why. They finalized the show with 9 minutes to spare. And so
I heard
that. So that was just a way to get there. Like this is what they had at the beginning. Like they even announced stuff that was going to happen later in the match before the matches happened. They announced
2-3 ways to open the show, and then
made
this segment that set all of it up. So it's like, so fucking WCW. It is unbelievable.
It's oh, you're seeing it now. It's really turning into WCW. It really is.
It's terrible. They do these three ways, you know, which is whatever. They were pretty decent, but, you know, Styles pins Samoa Joe, the U.S. champ, which that's been there. That is their thing these days, dude. Put a belt on you. Once you have a belt, then you can be pinned without losing anything.
Yeah.
In their eyes. But really, you just make all the belts look like fucking jokes, which they all do.
Yeah, they all do. And it comes with the fact that there's way too many belts.
Dude, I go, I don't understand why you do that. But anyway, Naomi defeated Billie Kay. This was like 1 minute, but it was like, how much dog shit can you put into 1 minute? And they had this match, and I was like, pretty fucking good effort, right? You put a lot of bullshit in that match. Well done. And also, because champs lose everything, right? So you get that. The show, yeah. It's worth talking about the ratings, too, right? When Corbin won the three-way, which meant that, like, oh, he'll be back later in the main event. Just the ratings went off a cliff. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Drop-off was, like, record-setting drop-off.
Well, this was the lowest rated Raw in history, right? Wasn't it?
Oh,
non-football. Non-football rated, which is that's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
At least with the football, you got a reason why it's bad.
Almost below 2 million for that third hour. I think this week it's going to happen, man. It's going to happen.
I don't know if it happens this week, but it's definitely going to happen in some short span, for sure.
Yeah. I take that back. I forgot about one other thing that I do like on this product, and that's Sami Zayn.
Yeah. Sami Zayn is a joy, but like, what are they doing with him?
So good, dude, compared to where he was when he left.
Yeah.
Then they try to do that Bobby Lashley thing, which really is one of the worst fucking things I've seen in years in pro wrestling. And well, that was
the point where they had to have him come out the next week and apologize for it.
Oh my God.
That's how bad it was.
The sisters thing, dude, and the obstacle course thing.
Fuck. No wonder I didn't watch this fucking show no more. When you bring up shit like this and I remember it, it's like, wow, yeah. Like,
when I bring up shit like that, that's like,
watch it.
That's like finding a fucking old dog turd, you know? It doesn't smell anymore even. It's so old, you know? It's all dried up, but it's like, that's like poking it with a stick, you know? Just getting all that fresh shit back out. That's the same thing. What the fuck else did we have on this show? Cesaro defeated Alexander. Which I thought was, why book that match? Why beat Alexander immediately? First thing in, beat. That's stupid.
Yeah.
The Viking Raiders. So we got some name changes here.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do.
So, okay, they were War Machine on the Indies. They came in and they became the War Raiders.
Yes. Which
they then became
was the was Viking, bad, but we liked it.
Which became the Viking Experience. Which this week became the Viking Raiders, which has now again become the Viking Warriors.
Wait, what? They changed it again to the Viking Warriors? I believe
so. Yeah,
holy fuck. I think so. Holy shit.
No, as far as I understand, that is the case.
Huh. Well, I will say this. If they're going...
Unless I'm completely wrong here. Hold on. Well, I saw this. I mean, I saw the shit.
While you're looking for it, I'll make my point that I don't know if their point is to try to seem like the evolution of a Pokemon, but they're getting there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'm trying to figure this out, man. There was a survey. A survey came out.
Like a WWE survey?
Yeah. Which of the following WWE Superstar Shake-Up brand changes are you most excited about seeing? And there were a few choices on here, but one was the Viking Warriors.
Huh. Wow.
This would be the third name change in 9 days. If that happens.
Oh, fuck.
It's either they got it wrong on this thing or they're going to change it again.
They might. I wouldn't blame it. It's crazy.
How do you have three names within a week?
That you're the WWE and you got Vince McMahon changes his mind all the time. That's how. Like, fuck. This company is doomed if Vince McMahon doesn't get out of it. Like the wrestling portion of it. Like the company itself will make money all the time just because it's the WWE. But
yeah,
it's getting so hard to watch that, you know, you'll never make a new fan. You know what I mean? Like we're gone so far past the new generation now to where like at least they had the decency to really, you know, stop what they were doing after like 4 years in. Mm. These guys have just been doing the same shit for their 10 years.
If you have no history of liking professional wrestling and you're like, hey, man, I'm just going to check out and see what this is all about. And you turn into Raw, you would have to be fucking mentally deficient to become a fan of it right now.
Yeah.
Well, like, no way. What is there that's going to make you a fan of it?
Like there's been times where I'm at work and I'll be out on lunch. And it's like, what am I going to do for my hour lunch? I know. There was a New Japan match I'd like to watch. I'm just going to watch that on my phone, right? So like, I'll just be sat there, and I'm watching it, and then like a guy I work with came over, and he's like, what are you watching? I was like, watching wrestling. He's like, oh, I fucking hate wrestling. That WWF stuff is so stupid. I was just like, yeah, it is. This isn't WWF, though. So he sat down, and he watched it with me, and he was just enthralled. It was Ospreay and... Oh, I can't remember now. This was a match from a couple months ago. He's like, what? That's fucking dope. He's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, exactly. Wrestling is not all WWF. WWF sucks.
We said that for a long time. You can thank them for Joe Blow American thinking wrestling is fucking stupid because they happened to see shit that they did on Raw, which was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So you have every right to think of wrestling is stupid because of it. But that's the thing too. A lot of people underestimate with AEW. It's like if they can get some of those fringe people back, you know.
Yes.
Like I got a lot of my friends on Lucha Underground. They haven't watched wrestling since the Attitude Era, but they got into Lucha Underground because it was, you know, it was fucking cool. So you never know, man. There's people out there who. There's just people in different stages of giving up on wrestling. You know, people quit. Some people gave up on it in 2003. So they do that.
Some people gave up on it as soon as WCW was gone.
I mean, really, it factors into the ratings and shit too, right? You look from like 2001 to now, people have dropped off, and it's been a steady decline the whole fucking time. Well, it's just like, how long can you take? You know, some people I left for a long time and came back.
Yeah,
but it's been Lucha Underground got me back into pro wrestling, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's been more than a steady decline on the WWE half. Like, they're down 20% year, like from last year. That's not a steady decline. That's a fucking drop.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's terrible. What else we got here on this show? Oh, dude, the Viking Raiders / Experience / Warriors. They attacked Lucha House Party before their match. They're heels now, I guess, this week.
Now, mind you, that gimmick of Vikings is better to be as a heel. You know what I mean? Because what did Vikings do? They raped and pillaged.
Oh, I mean, right? I guess, but I always liked the Viking. I don't know what to call these dudes anymore. I always liked War Machine as faces. I thought they're fucking awesome.
I have no problem with them as faces. I got no problem with his faces either, but I do understand Vince's mentality as putting them as heels because he doesn't know no better. It's like, oh,
but dude,
people hate Vikings.
You just one week you're named one thing, your faces. The next week you just peels with a new name because, I mean, that's the kind of shit that just I can't get behind it. It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, no, it is
so ridiculous.
You should have this stuff fleshed out before they even debut, but that's the thing, they don't flesh anything out. Like literally 9 minutes before Raw, they finished what they figured out what they were going to do in the show. That's you got a fucking week to figure that out. And you do it 9 minutes before the show. Like, fucking hell. Come on. You're running a billion-dollar company.
People always want to make it sound like it's rocket science. I'm not going to say, hey, it's fucking easy. But I was like, I say that to Jared. I'm like, dude, I feel like me and you could write a Raw and a SmackDown in just like, we'd be done Monday, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't need the whole work week. I wouldn't need 40 hours to write Raw. Are you kidding me? I feel like we could do that in an hour.
You wouldn't script everything for the guys. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be like, okay, you go out there and you make this point. Okay, you go out there, you make the right. Like, that's,
you save yourself a lot of fucking trouble right there.
Yeah, and you let these characters get over themselves, and then they get a little bit of themselves in the character instead of just being the same character, just saying different verbiage. That's it. You know, because nobody's different.
Yeah. Also, in this, dude, Becky Lynch, Alicia Fox. So Alicia Fox is back on television. after showing up to work drunk or fucked up on pills, whatever it was. This match, dude, if you haven't seen it, god damn it, go out of your way to check it out.
Really?
It is terrible. Dude, they have to stop at one point. Like, honestly, Becky just bails out of the ring. They stop. They have to, like, reset to get going again. It is bad. Also, I don't know if you heard, Robert Roode, the new Robert Roode, he defeated Ricochet on this show.
Really?
Clean. And he won with a glorious DDT on Ricochet after dodging a 630 senton.
I mean, at least, you know what? You know, at least they have him win in a decent way where it's like, okay, well, Ricochet made a mistake and Roode capitalized on it. Because, like, you do a 630 senton and you miss it, I'd imagine you're dead. You know what I mean?
I mean, he is kind of, you know, I could get, like, the Wiley veteran angle, but, I mean, they're not going to do any of that stuff.
No.
It's just, they're just doing it just, like, here's the thing, you know? But beating Ricochet this early, I don't... that's questionable to me.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. Ricochet should,
especially with
beaten.
Bobby Roode, a guy that you've had sitting around doing jack shit for how many years now?
Yeah,
you know, you're gonna, like, oh, we'll dust off this fucking 41-year-old guy. What are you doing, man? Good. And then Styles defeated Corbin, your main event of Raw in 2019, boy.
Yeah, no, that's something else. Styles.
There was
Corbin.
Some good wrestling in those three ways. That first three way, anyway. Yeah. Styles, Mysterio, Joe, pretty good match. But other than that,
I mean, no, thank you. It's 3 hours that you're not meant to watch every second of it, so it's going to be horrible. Like, if you took Raw and turned it, like, took segments out and made it an hour, it's a passable show.
You hear that the SmackDown might be 3 hours.
Yeah. I'll never watch it. Never.
No, of course not. Of course not. Especially on a Friday night. Like,
right? What am I going to do on a Friday night? I'm going to fuck bitches and drink beer and smoke dope.
Yeah, man.
You ain't getting my fucking time on a Friday night, my friend. I just got done a work week. I'm going to unwind. I'm not fucking winding myself back up for 3 hours of butt-cringing fucking bullshit. Not a chance.
It's Friday night. Yeah. And I feel all right.
Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
You just made everybody hate you right there.
Everybody hates me anyways.
The heel turn right there.
I mean, my heel turn was August 182. Of last year.
Yeah, episode 182.
Good. At least I did it on my high school favorite band, Blink-182. I picked a great time to do it.
The most hacked password in the fucking country.
And you know what, man? That was my password for everything in high school, Blink-182. It was everything. If you could get access to fudgefingers@hotmail.com, which I haven't used for 10, 15 years, I don't think you can. I got hacked out of it. Blink-182 was the password. That's probably why I got hacked out of it.
Jesus. I mean, do you want to talk about these? I mean, the NWA show is tonight. No one's going to listen to this show before they watch that. So I feel like we're wasting our time talking about it. I'm looking forward to it.
I feel like we did talk about it enough last week. So.
Yeah, there you go. I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm going to have to watch it on delay, though. I think I'm going to roller derby tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty dope. I don't have such exciting plans, but a friend of mine, my old roommate, is moving to Edmonton on Monday. So we're going to go and we're going to do something tonight. I don't know what, but we're going to do something.
Drink some Labatt's.
Some fucking Labatt Blue.
Yeah. Maybe. I got
some Coors in the fridge, and I've got some Smirnoff Ice because I like to start with Smirnoff Ice and finish with beer because I'm that kind of guy. I'm a puss when I drink. So if you hate me enough, you can make fun of me on Twitter about me drinking Smirnoff Ice.
But at Federation,
I'll just post a fucking picture of me chugging it and just thumbs up, baby.
There you go. Fuck, I've been like, dude, on margaritas lately.
Oh, dude. At least there's tequila margaritas, though.
Except they are. But, dude, I can't, man. Like, smoke all day, every day? No problem. Got that unlocked.
Yeah.
Add margaritas in, and I'm just fucking wrecked, dude.
I get
it. Just like any amount of booze, a considerable amount of booze added into my regimen, it just fucking, it sends it over the edge, man. I can't even...
Well, yeah,
like, and it wasn't always like that, but nowadays it is, man.
I was going to get drunk last night, and that was my plan. I was going, like, we were going to have a bunch of friends come over, and we were going to get drunk. And so that's why we're recording on a Saturday morning. They didn't show up, but I still got a little drunk anyways. And then fell asleep on the couch watching X-Files at 10:30.
10:30. This Impact pay-per-view, Rebellion, I'm looking forward to.
Not to be confused with the WWE UK pay-per-view Rebellion, but, I mean, nonetheless.
What is that?
It was the WWF Rebellion. They used to do it in like 2001, 2002, where they go over to the UK and they do a pay-per-view. They also did Insurrection as well. I believe we, as the Federation, did a Rebellion 2003. There was a match of Brock Lesnar versus Edge, I'm pretty sure, and Undertaker and Big Show.
Yeah. Swan, Callahan, X Division Championship match.
Should be.
Yeah.
What? Oh, I guess the X Division is no weight limits. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, like Sammy Callahan. Like, there's something to be said about that. To me, the X Division, sure, it's all about no limits instead of weight limits. But, like, Sammy Callahan is just a hardcore wrestler, you know, a brawler. He's not a high flyer. At least Samoa Joe did some shit like that.
Yeah, to me, it makes no sense. Yeah, I'm with you.
It's like, it's not as bad as having Kevin Nash or Abyss as your X Division champion. But, I mean,
I'd rather just have the obligatory, you know, champion defense against like three other high flyers X Division match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You could have got some guys. You got the Lucha Bros here. You could have got Drago or Aerostar. Who else have they had? They've had quite a few guys from there.
Well, I mean, they do a lot of AAA guys and Lucha Underground guys. So, like, there's a plethora of guys.
I'd rather have that.
Like, you could have even done fucking Brian Cage. But I know he's going for the world title, but I mean, like, he's also the kind of guy that can pass as an X Division wrestler. Not Sammy Callahan, though. Sammy Callahan, to me, is more of a, like, let's put him in a match against so-and-so and just use weapons galore. That's what I see Sammy Callahan as. And there's no problem with that. I like Sammy Callahan. I think he's a great worker. I just don't see the point of putting him in an X Division match. It's like want people to watch your show, like, they're, you know, you want to bring people back, give them that like high flying action to start the show and get, you know, the show off good, and then go from there. You don't need, you know, just that's what the X Division should be for.
Yep, that's why I always say, like, I just fucking do those four ways all the time. Yeah. You know, maybe once a year at a big show, do a one-on-one X Division, but just start any show with a fucking four of those dudes in there going crazy, man.
Well, and I believe the way Impact used to do it back in the day, which I always liked, is they would have that multi-man X Division match start the show, and then they would have the X Division title match later on. You know what I mean? Like, they used to do, you know, guys like, you have Kaz,
number one
Matt
contender,
Bentley.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you'd have guys like Kaz, Matt Bentley, Red, Amazing Red, and some other cat. And then later on in the show, you got AJ Styles and Chris Daniels. You know what I mean? Like,
that's actually the perfect way to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Nailed it.
Nailed it, girl. So
there's some other shit on here that's like the Rascals. Taking on Moose with the North,
which is like Page, Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, that ripped ass motherfucker.
That dude who I was ahead of the curve on, fucking, I don't know when that was, last year sometime.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good. I haven't seen much of his work, but I will be watching this show.
I happened to watch one of those Impact extra shows. It's like that. It's like really some indie company, but Impact is attached to it or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah. Smash Wrestling and shit like that.
Yeah, I was in Canada, and it was that Josh Alexander versus Callahan in a cage match, and like that dude sold me. Like, this guy's fucking great, man. He's gonna be a huge star. It took a little while for him to sign him, but he's really good, man. That guy, handled correctly, could be a world champion, you know, material. Taya Jordan Grace, you know, I think that should be good.
Yeah, no, I think so too, because I'm a fan of Taya. I'm a fan of Jordan Grace. Two of them together should have a very entertaining match.
That's for the Knockouts Championship. Valkyrie's defending. You know, I put it on Grace here, man. I think she's so. She's one that they really missed out on in WWE. It's like she's got so much upside. She doesn't look like anybody else. She's thick. She's super strong. She's hot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I assume that they're going to go this show and have Valkyrie lose her title and Impact lose his title. And I would imagine that's going to be a driving force in the show and the storylines going forward. But Jordynne Grace can easily take that title and make it mean something, because she is just a big lady. You know what I mean? And she looks like she can kick the shit out of anyone. So why wouldn't she kick the shit out of Taya Valkyrie? I think you'd have her. She's not so much of like Awesome Kong, where like she's unstoppable kind of deal. But at least Jordynne Grace is a better worker than Awesome Kong, and she's bigger than every other woman in this division. So you can just have her run roughshod in the division, and who knows, maybe you could have one of the most popular female stars in your company if you do that correctly.
Down with that. Also, you got Gail Kim versus Tessa Blanchard, which should be cool. Gail Kim coming out of retirement.
I can't see that match being anything less than pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, there's a chance it could go wrong, but I mean, it could be a really good match. They had
Tessa Blanchard like trash a restaurant, allegedly, you know, Gail Kim's husband's restaurant. She's married to
some chef, some high class 2020 chef.
I watch all those shows. Robert Irvine, that's his name.
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird. Every time I like see his shows, though, I'm like, oh, I saw that dude's dick. It's like, ugh.
I know, right? I know.
Those leaks of her, I was like, oh, sweet. Oh, come on, dude.
Come on, man.
Yeah. And then Lucha Bros versus LAX in a Full Metal Mayhem match. It's going to be ridiculous, man. I think that's going to be awesome.
I think so. You got two teams that aren't afraid to throw down in a hardcore style and leave their bodies in the ring. I think they're going to do some crazy ass shit in here. I will go out on a limb and say that they will fuck up some stuff though.
And if you don't habla espan Impact, Full Metal Mayhem is Impact for TLC.
Yeah. Well, like, but is there a title hanging from the rafters though? Like, do you have to climb the ladder to get it?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I don't know.
Well, I'm on Wikipedia here now. I can click on Full Metal Mayhem and see what. Yep. Tables, ladders, and chairs match. Total nonstop action.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think that's going to be the sleeper of the show.
I think so. It very well could be, actually. Johnny Impact and Brian Cage should be good, too. Yeah. With Lance Storm as a special guest referee. Fuck yeah.
Weird. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what the backstory is there.
They did it somewhere on Impact Television. I don't, because Lance Storm is an agent in Impact now. So
that's interesting. What else, man? I don't know. I think that's about it. I watched NXT this week. As I mentioned.
Yeah.
They've been using a Slipknot banger.
Yep. All Out Life. I'm a fan. Yeah. That's just a single that they released in October.
Yeah.
I don't like how they got like the gang singing at the beginning. I think that's pretty cheesy and weird. Like where they got all the NXT wrestlers just saying All Out Life, right? It's just like, come on, guys. Yeah, you don't need these guys like acting like they're singing the song. Just show footage of them.
Yeah, right. Forgotten Sons though, man. Jackson Ryker. Oh, what do you think of that guy? I know you've shit on it and we've shit on it before, but this week I was kind of like, this guy looks kind of crazy, man. Well,
Jackson Ryker, that's the Gunner guy, right?
Gunner.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's got a good look. I just can't get over the fact that he was just that stupid ass fucking security guard in Impact. That stupid gimmick. I hated that. I hated all of it. I was never a fan of Gunner.
They're going to end up taking on Umberto Carrillo, Larkin, and Birch in a six man, I assume.
I mean,
I hear Umberto Carrillo got hurt?
One of them got hurt. I don't know if it's Carrillo or not, but I do know one of those Spanish small guys that they have to get hurt.
And one of the super bland, smiling fucking
yeah.
They're not anything. They're like, what is he, man? He's just like a dude who smiles. Yeah. Mexican.
That's it. He does some cool flips, and then that's about it.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess there's not really much to talk about on this show.
No.
They were still the War Raiders on this week's NXT. That was fun.
Makes no sense whatsoever, but okay.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We didn't talk about SmackDown and really care. Owens turns after 1 week.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, you know, everyone knows that this turn's going to happen, but if they take a little while, but they got a pay-per-view in 3 weeks, so I guess fucking do it now. I don't know.
Well, the original plan for that pay-per-view was to have Kofi Kingston take on Randy Orton. And Kevin Owens was supposed to be the number two babyface in the company, and they're like, well, let's change that, and let's make Owens the heel. Because, you know, just whatever.
They're going to fuck it up now.
Yeah.
Because he turns now, and they've got, what, 3 weeks left. And that's where they can't keep their hands off shit. Like, they fuck it up. They have to keep fucking with it. So that's part of the issue. Why not just do it a week beforehand? 2 weeks beforehand.
Right? I don't know. It's a network special. You're not looking for pay-per-view buys. The people that have it already have the show. You don't need to build that match, especially for what pay-per-view is it? Money in the Bank? Right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
So, like, it's... People are going to, like, just the match of Money in the Bank itself is the selling point for that match. You don't need to have a main event that's going to blow anybody away. So, like, it could be easy just to build that for a week before. It would be perfectly fine.
You're going to have great matchups like Roman Reigns versus Elias. It's on there. That's confirmed already.
Fuck.
So they're going to be building that for the next 3 weeks.
Good. Good to know.
On SmackDown.
Good to know. I'm glad I made the choice to not watch when I did.
Yeah, fucking awful. This is just random, but have you noticed all the stuff they added to Ricochet's song?
The lasers and shit or whatever? The pew pew pew.
No, he's got like actual ricochets in his song now, like at the beginning.
Like the word ricochet?
No, like the sound of ricocheting bullets.
Oh.
He does, dude. And Black has like a creak when a thing goes up. Serious, dude. I'm 100% serious. It sounds like I'm fucking joking, but I'm not.
Oh my god.
When it's like, oh yeah, it's like. Ricochet seems to have like more shit every week. It was like a ricochet, and then it seemed like it was like, is that two ricochets? I don't know. They just keep putting shit in there. It's like, and you know, that's the man. The old man is just that.
I can make this better.
He thinks it's just some genius plan. It's not like terrible or anything, but it's just like, I just love the little, like, he has to fuck with everything, dude. Yeah.
There's nothing nothing gold can stay, Pony Boy.
It's fucking ridiculous. But yeah, so there's all that. Do we have anything else this week?
Boy, I don't think we do. Like, for a show that we thought we were going to have a tight show, it became a regular, you know, actual, oh, wow, a 2-hour show, Jim. Didn't even have a mark tank.
Yeah. Mrs. Vicious must be sleeping in the other room. Otherwise, she would have been angrily texting me about how long this took. Score. I think that's it, man.
Yeah, oh, no, I think we got
shout outs. Want to get some shout outs to our fucking people, man.
The return of the Inhuman Experience.
Yeah, the return of the Inhuman Experience, man. Coming out of nowhere, dude.
Yeah. Bobby Anthem returned to the airwaves with that beautiful, beautiful voice.
Yeah. Not back to Twitter, though, but that's okay. It's okay. I'm trying to find my shit because I'm fucking stoned. Shout outs to our friends at THT Wrestling Podcast. Check them out every Wednesday on Mixler. Nuclear Heat Graphics for all kinds of awesome pro wrestling artwork. You can put it in frames, hang it on your walls, and call that shit art because it is art. Who else we got? Shooting the Shiznit, Sat Pod, The Strap, Comedy Suplex, Wrestling's High Marks. Who else am I forgetting? I'm going to check it also to... I'm so bad at this. Talking Reckless, a podcast about video games. Check those guys out everywhere podcasts are found. I don't know. We have anyone else we had to shout out? Yuck Nasty, Dog Baby, Get in the Corner. I watched their shit this week. They have, you know, it'll be like, what's happening on the screen? them sitting there and then, you know, like random pictures that flash by all on the screen at once. And there's a video they're watching of a fucking chubby broad farting cake out of her ass. And our logo is one of the logos. They just have like shout out logos, you know, to different fucking, you know, the homies, THT and Nuclear Heat and shit. And ours is one of them that flashes by as they're watching this chick like fart out cake. It's pretty amazing. That show is unlike any other podcast.
It is. I missed the last time we were supposed to be on that show. I would greatly like for me and you to join them sometime.
Oh, Jesus.
I think it would be a hoot and a half.
I've been on there a bunch of times. Super good guys. Love those guys. The show is just madness. You know, it's fucking madness. It's awesome. But yeah, I think that's about it. If we're forgetting anybody, I apologize. You know, we still got love for you.
We do. I mean, and you know, I checked out a little bit during the shout outs because I was checking Twitter, but I mean, I don't know who Jim mentioned, but I'm sure he mentioned all.
I think I got them all.
I just wanted to check Twitter to see if there was anything that we had to talk about before we left, but no.
Nothing going on?
Nah, nothing at all. Nothing worth it anyways. Right. People hating there stuff and shit. That's about it.
Well, there it is. And on the way out, playing us out today, our friends for the B-plus players, Halifax's own B-plus players, with the newest song from their wrestling-themed album, out now everywhere. This week, it's Suplex City, an ode to Brock Lesnar. Check him out. As always, we thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week to recap this NWA pay-per-view, the Impact pay-per-view. You know, what kind of nonsense? What are the Viking Warriors called next?
Yeah. And luckily, this week, I got no geography wrong, I don't think. So, fuck you.
Right. So, we'll be back next week. Until then, may you get all the dick and or pussy you desire. Remember, a winner is you. And be excellent to each other.
Couldn't look around without seeing Brock Lesnar's face. He was a mixed martial artist, NCAA champ. He'll bust you wide open hard way. What a lovable scam. Isn't it a pity? And now Suplex City. The beast incarnate man who ended the streak, and with a skip in his step, he'll eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. And boy, it warms your heart to see the twinkle in his eye when he lays out his opponent with another F5. And now, Suplex City. He'll try a shooting star press if you want it. He'll leave you lying in blood, urine, and vomit. And now